Hey, thanks so much for taking the time to listen to this podcast from Vital Point Church. My name is Ron. I'm the pastor here at Vital Point. We believe that it's important for people to explore and grow in their faith. And my hope, my prayer is that this message that you're listening to will draw you closer to better understanding how you can live out your faith journey in the everyday life. Sit back and enjoy. My name is Ron, and I'm the pastor here at Vital Point Church, and today we are wrapping up our series called Empowered. What we've been doing for the last 8 weeks is we've been looking at what the Bible teaches about spiritual gifts. Our anchor verse that we've been using is found in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. And 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, it says that God distributes gifts to his followers in order to serve one another, and we are to steward these gifts that God gives. You see the verse, it's on the screen for you. Well, today what we're going to do is we're going to wrap up our series in a way that I hope will bring some clarity to the last part of our conversation. We have a lot of ground to cover, so what I'm going to do is I'm just going to jump right in on the discussion, and hopefully by the end you'll have better clarity on what we're talking about. John Thompson, in his book Convergence, talks about three different categories of gifts, and the categories are defined as love gifts, word gifts, and power gifts. And we're in the last section of this called power gifts. Now, as I've said before in the past, we're going to put the number on the screen. If there's at some point in the conversation that you have a sense that there's a rising excitement about a particular gift that I'm talking about today, you can text the number. I'll walk you through that. What is a power gift? Let's do a quick review. Power gifts demonstrate the power, the presence, and the reality of God. What we've been looking at over this discussion around the power gift category is the realization that when the power gifts are manifested through an individual, there is the reality of God's presence and power that is available to us, that is there. We have this experience. Sometimes people say, well, I don't see God. I don't experience God. Well, when these power gifts are being manifested and being used according to God's desire, what we see is the evidence and the proof of God. There's the groupings of the power gifts. We looked at last week, we looked at prophetic tongues and interpretation. Today, we're going to look at faith, discernment of spirits, wisdom and knowledge, healing and miracles. So we're going to look at that last grouping for us in the conversation. I'm going to take us to a letter written by the Apostle Paul called Corinthians. And in Corinthians, you have sections 12, 13, and 14 are the chapters that are very descriptive of what the gifts are. It's not the only list because you can find them also in Romans chapter 12, Ephesians chapter 4, 1 Peter 4 as well. But what we're going to see today is the power gifts at work within the context of the church. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to read them for you. I'm going to read this section for you, and then we're going to unpack it and hopefully give you some clarity. All right, starts at verse 4 in 1 Corinthians 12. It says, "Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all and everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the ability to distinguish between spirits. To another, various gifts of tongues. To another, interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as he wills." What we see from the very beginning of our conversation to set the context for us and understanding what Paul is doing here, I love how he talks about the variety of gifts, the variety of service, and the variety of activities. What we begin to realize is that there's multiple expressions within the context of the body of the church. But what unifies the activities, the service, and the gifts is the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the three-in-one person of the Godhood, is the third person of the Godhood. And what we see in this is that the Spirit of God, at the will of God, distributes the gifts to the followers of Jesus. Now, what we must understand in this is that what was happening in the context was that people who were in the context of this church in Corinth were believing that the gifts were specifically for them, which signified status and significance. This is an important discussion for us because so oftentimes we view the gifts as, well, they're mine. They're to be expressed for me. They're for my status. They're for my significance. What we see in this right from the very beginning of our conversation is verse 7. It says that the variety of gifts by the Spirit are given for the common good. That phrase actually refers to the benefactors of the gift is someone else. It's actually talking about the welfare of others. See, so oftentimes we will look at gifts and we will see them with our Western mindset. We will think through these things as, well, they're for me, just similar to what they did in Corinth. What we must understand is that they are an expression outward. Yes, it is the place of empowerment. Yes, it is a place of joy. Yes, we find our meaning and purpose oftentimes within the context of these gifts, but they're not for us. They are to be distributed and used in a way that brings about the awareness of God. This is what the power gifts do. They express the presence and the reality of God. I love this because oftentimes we get trapped in believing that our Christian faith is about us. So for example, there are times when people hear about Jesus giving us the abundant life. We look at that from our mindset and our Western thinking is that, oh good, Jesus is going to bring about my dreams and my hopes and my wishes. And so therefore I will follow Jesus. But that's not the intent of what Jesus wants for us. What we see in the context of understanding a walk with Jesus is that he actually asks us to die to self, to carry our cross, to enter into our relationship with God with an open hand through the person of Jesus Christ. See, that's the mindset that I believe Paul is trying to drive us to with the power gifts. They're not about status and significance. They're literally about this idea of, I hold these things with an open hand so that when God chooses by his Spirit to manifest these gifts in my life or through me, I am available to him to work. That's a distinct difference. When we think it's about us, we limit our ability to actually use these gifts. So we enter into the power gifts with an open hand, recognizing they're for the common good. Now, what we see about the power gifts is very interesting because there's a long list of description in here that we sometimes will get lost in. So I want to do my best to unpack these for you to help you understand what these gifts are and what they look like. I'm going to start with the first grouping of wisdom and knowledge. I want to talk about these two together. When you actually begin to unpack these two things and you read some of the people that have written books on this stuff and commentaries, there's lots of tension with these two things. Oftentimes, people see them as separate gifts. Some see them as one gift with multiple expressions. I don't care how you look at it, because the reality is that God distributes by his Spirit the gift of wisdom and the gift of knowledge. Now, let's be clear. Wisdom and knowledge are different than just the everyday wisdom that maybe you have gained through life. Like we go through life and we have experiences, we have encounters that teach us things, and then we get wisdom from those things, and then we're in certain circumstances, we can apply those things. Or it's not even knowledge. Like if you talk to someone that's super knowledgeable about things, that's not necessarily even talking about that. There's something distinctly different about the gifts of wisdom and knowledge. See, wisdom, let me say this. Wisdom is direct insight on something that comes to you in the moment when you're facing a challenge, when you're in a conversation with someone where they're facing a difficult roadblock. And when you are interacting with them, this particular gift of wisdom steps in where you are aware that the flow of the Holy Spirit is working and giving you insight on how this person or group can move through it. I'll explain it this way. There are times when I am sitting with someone and I am interacting with them and they're expressing a challenge or they're talking about a relational difficulty. I can take some of the general wisdom and knowledge that maybe I have from life. But there are times when I see this moment where I recognize I don't have a sweet clue what to say or what to do. what I do is I quickly pray, God, would you reveal to me the wisdom that is needed? And I want to tell you something. When the Spirit of God in this gifting manifests the utterance of wisdom, I am always amazed because I often feel like there is no way I'm smart enough to know this. There's no way that I would have been able to come up with this on my own. And I almost, like, I don't want to sound weird or bizarre about this, but it's almost as if I have this conversation over here that's happening, and I'm over here going, what in the world is happening? There's wisdom that is flowing. The gift expressed through wisdom is this beautiful flow of the Spirit giving you insight on a particular situation or circumstance where you just humanly don't know what to do. Now, think about the word knowledge. Knowledge is very fascinating because knowledge also comes into another realm of the supernatural where you get insight on someone or something that you would not have necessarily known apart from the Spirit of God revealing it to you. This is what the word of knowledge is. The word of knowledge is the expression of knowing something about someone or a circumstance. A pastor friend of mine, Alan, he's the pastor at Bethel Baptist in Strathroy. He and I are developing a really tight friendship right now. What is interesting is that one time a few months ago at Bethel, they were doing the Alpha program, which is an introductory course to the Christian faith of answering meaning and purpose and faith in Jesus and all that. He was entering into what is called the weekend retreat. And on the Friday night, he texts me and he says, Ron, I believe I have a word of knowledge on something. And what was so cool about this is that when he stepped into this moment, this is all online through Zoom, when he stepped into this moment and spoke the word of knowledge, the person that was watching and listening that was part of the program called Alpha, they responded so clearly that they gave their life to Jesus Christ because of the word of knowledge revealed something about their past and a particular pet. It was interesting. It was a powerful moment because the power and the reality of God is revealed. Now, when you think about wisdom and knowledge, you have to see them from the lens of this. When you have this gift, you have a deep longing to know God. I want to say that again. If you have the gift of wisdom and knowledge, you have a deep longing to know God. You have an awareness, hear this, will you hear this? You have an awareness of the whispers of God in your everyday actions and encounters, and you also, do not take these gifts flippantly because you recognize that you have to be cautious with this gift because you want the best for the person that you're giving the wisdom and the knowledge to. So there's an act of surrender. This is an important aspect. There's an act of surrender with these particular gifts because you recognize that they're the verbal power expression of wisdom and knowledge to an individual or to a group or whatever is happening. I want you right now, if something inside of you, you've actually recognized this in you, you've experienced this in your life, I want you to text the word wisdom and knowledge to the number that's on the screen. I think it's an important thing for you to do just to help us interact with you because we don't want this to be content to be consumed. We want you to feel like you're contributing. So wisdom and knowledge, you can text those. Second grouping, healing and miracles. Now, this is where we enter into the conversation where some of us are going to be scratching our heads. And I want to just be upfront with you. And I was talking with some of the team this morning before we went live online. This particular grouping of healing and miracles creates a lot of tension in my life and in my faith journey. And I've been debating to share this with you when it comes to healings and miracles. Today's Father's Day, and when I was 11, my dad passed away. He was 36 years old. He had cancer. And when I think of healing and miracles, I actually kind of have tension about this because I've wondered why God didn't heal my dad and perform a miracle in my dad's body to rid the cancer that had filled his body. So I'm going to step into this very cautiously and carefully because I recognize that it does create tension, and I know that there's a lot of harm that has also been done under the banner of healing and miracles, and I want to be very cautious with this. I want to deal with healings first. Healing. When we look at healing, we must understand that it's not simply just about the physical. Healing is about the state of wellness for the entire person. See, so oftentimes we confuse this with just physical. I see this as a state of wellness, physically, yes, emotionally, spiritually, and mentally. Healing is the awareness that God may choose to use you as a conduit to bring healing in a situation in a person's life. I came across this quote. I'm not sure who said it, but I found this quote. It said this: "The gift of healing is the special ability that God gives to certain members of the body of Christ to serve as human intermediaries through whom it pleases God to cure illness and restore health apart from the use of natural means." This person has this gift. They understand that it's not the supernatural power to heal disease in a way where you're going to set up a booth at a fair and just start distributing healing. That's not what we're talking about. What we're talking about is the fullness and the awareness that oftentimes through your words, through your prayer, or even through laying on of hands with permission, that you lay on hands. Had to add that in with permission part, because I can see someone running around just laying hands on people, and that'd be like super crazy, freaky these days. But when we realize this, we understand that there's something that God chooses to do as a conduit of his healing. Now, what about miracles? What about the miracles part of things? Now, this is also adds a lot of confusion and concern, because with our Western mindset, we want to use science to prove things. We want to reason things out and so on and so forth. When we think about miracles, we have to look at them through the lens of the supernatural land of mystery. I want to say that again. This is the land of mystery. This is the land of scratch our heads. How could this have possibly happened? Like, right now, I'm studying through the book of Mark, the Gospel of Mark. It's in the New Testament, and I'm preparing for a series this fall, October, November, and December. We're going to walk through the Gospel of Mark together, and I've been studying it and reading it, and I'm only a few chapters in, and one of the things I see very clearly is Jesus performing miracles. We see the empowering work of the Holy Spirit through Jesus performing these miracles. Whether it's healing of a leper, or whether it's restoring a withered hand, or whether it's casting out demons. And I step back and I read those things and I go, do we see these things today? Do we have these moments where there's a supernatural provision in a moment where all human effort has met the end of its limit, and for whatever reason, God in his supernatural power steps in, not to shock and awe us, but to give us an awareness of his presence through the mystery of the miracle being performed. Now, I want you to know this. How do I say this? I believe that God does perform miracles as they are connected to the revealing of his kingdom. Because we need to understand that there are times when God chooses not to heal or perform the miracle. We sometimes mistaken this with Jesus. Sometimes we think Jesus was just healing everybody. He didn't. There was times when he moved on. There was times he left one town and went to another, and there's people still that needed to be healed. For whatever reason, we must understand that God sometimes chooses not to for his greater purpose, for his greater reason. I want us to know that and to understand that. Now, when I think about miracles and I think about healing, we see it from the lens of maybe you are fully aware, and I said this already about healing, but you're fully aware that for some reason, God chooses to use your words or your prayers to bring about a form of wholeness in a person's life, which would be a miracle. It could be the reconciliation of a relationship. It could be literally the miracle of someone maybe who is healed from a physical ailment. I've heard stories of people who've walked with crutches for years on end and were healed. They dropped the crutches and were able to walk. I've heard of people that had a broken shoulder and their shoulder was healed. It was a miracle when they went back to the doctor. The doctor x-rayed again and said, well, maybe we made a mistake with the x-ray. There's evidence of the power of God. I think it comes down to this, and I'll end this point with this. I think it comes down to whether or not we trust in an all-powerful God to actually do the miracles and healings. there's going to be a piece of this where we connect to, do I really truly trust that God is all powerful and that if he so chooses, I could be a conduit that he uses to perform the healing and miracles. All right, I know that that's a wonky conversation for some of us and you're wrestling with it, but if something inside of you, you've maybe experienced this, you've seen this, you've experienced God working through you, I want you to text this on the number on the screen, healing and miracles. All right. We're going to jump into discerning of spirits. Brace yourself for this conversation. Discerning of spirits. This is an important aspect of the gifting within the church. This gifting, I'm not sure why I'm getting so emotional. The gifting protects and brings awareness to the things of God and the things that are not of God. I want to say this again. The gifting protects and brings awareness to the things that are of God and the things that are not of God. We can see this in the realm of determining what things are biblically true and what are motivationally wrong. What are biblically true and motivationally wrong. The discerning spirit works in tandem with words of knowledge, words of wisdom, and even prophetic giftings that people have. Because those gifts, apart from discerning spirits, can actually do a lot of harm if the discerning spirit doesn't step in and say, hey, whoa, that's out of character to who God is. That's out of biblical realms of truth. So the discerning spirit is an awareness of the motivation or the truth. Like sometimes when you're watching online, you maybe hear something that I've said where maybe it's a truth that's clear, but you have a discerning spirit that my motive was wrong because maybe I've got a bit of anger in me or maybe I've got a bit of tension in me because of a conversation I've had. And out of my humanness, I'm trying to make a point in my message. And you have a discerning spirit. You're like, Ron, that's a really great truth, but your motivation was off. You understand this because you have a discerning spirit of what is of God and what is not. And so that's an important distinction when you think about the gifting of discerning spirit. Now, I also need to talk about another part of discerning spirit that might make you a little bit uncomfortable, but I don't care. That's just, thanks for laughing in the room. I appreciate that. This might make you, we've got like the team here sitting in the room, which is nice. Discerning spirit also determines what's not of God, which means this, that the discerning spirit has the ability to discern when an evil spirit is present in or on a person. Okay? We don't talk a lot about this within the context. We don't talk about this very much within the context of our churches these days. But there is the reality of the darkness of evil that is present in individuals' lives and oftentimes around people's lives. I'll share this story with you to kind of help. My daughter-in-law, Hannah, has this gift of discerning of spirits. And I know it's a gift that she has because I've seen it demonstrated. A number of years ago, I was at a conference with our staff. It was in Barrie. And as I was at this conference, John Thompson, who wrote the book Convergence, our friends, and he had said, Ron, I believe I need to pray over you. And he grabbed Shayla Visser, who's the international director of Alpha, and they, after one of the sessions, they came and they prayed over me. And I've never had this experience before. This is about 3 years ago. And they prayed over me so distinctly that there was things revealed to them in that moment. John actually said to me, he said, Ron, there is something in your office that is keeping you from studying and the release of the Holy Spirit in your studying. There is something restricting you. Now, he didn't know what it was, and I didn't know what it was. I had left that time with them, and I went out, and I got into a bus, and we were traveling to a backyard lawn party as a staff and as the conference, and I said to David and Hannah, I said, this is what happened to me. And they said, there's something in my office. And I literally blurted out, the only thing that I can think of is these two little statues that I purchased in Africa. And in that split second, because of Hannah's gift of discernment of spirits, she collapsed physically into herself. And she literally responded, Ron, that's exactly what is in your office. I express this even now, and I'm physically responding to this because of the reality of the moment was so clear. 2 days later, I walked into my office, and I knew perfectly well what the presence was. It was these two figurines that I had purchased. My wife and I, Desiree and I brought them home at the end of that day, and we burned them in my backyard. And as we burned them, we prayed to be released from this, and then we went inside and went back out, and these two wooden idols were not burnt. They were just leaning against each other, and everything else was burned up. And my wife and I were kind of freaked out, to be honest with you, and I took a stick and I jabbed them, and they finally burnt up. It was discerning spirit that worked in tandem with the word of knowledge and that spoke into my life, and she revealed what it was. The spirit, the discerning spirit, helps us understand what is of God and what is not of God. Helps us understand the word and the biblical truth, the motivation, but also helps discern when evil is present in or around a particular situation or a person. If you sense that maybe you have this gift, I want you to just to text in church, say discerning, or something inside of you is getting excited about this particular gift because you recognize it, that you've had these moments. I want you to text in church. All right, the last one is this, gift of faith. This is a beautiful gift. This is an expression of the gift in a church environment and in a community of faith that is so necessary. It's a gift that's given separate from what we're thinking. I want us to separate here a bit because it's not the faith that we're talking about when a person puts their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. It's not the faith that is talked about that's receiving the grace and the trust of Jesus Christ in your life. Like my prayer is that first and foremost, you will have an awareness of the presence of Jesus in your life and you'll respond to him by faith. It's that step that we take. It's a gift that God gives to us. Ephesians talks about this gift that, of grace that we respond by faith. The gift of faith, though, is a little bit different in the sense that it's the working out of our lives in a way where we have this calm, listen to this, we have this calm trust that in God's promises and in God's provision. Even though you might be facing uncertainty, even though you may be facing a time where you don't know what the future may hold, you have this calm trust in faith in God, in his provision, in his promises that he's giving and he offers to us through the Bible. Now, I'm going to share a story with you again. I believe it's important to share stories in order to kind of give clarity to this. Earlier in our service today, one of our leaders, Mark, was sharing, and he's leading us in worship today. Mark and I last fall had a conversation around our church and where our church was going with the purchase of our central facility. We had to raise $600,000. It was a huge, massive undertaking. I was sitting in a car with Mark, and I was telling him what we were doing. And he looked at me with utter confidence and in utter faith. He just said, "Ron, God has this. You do not have to work hard for this." And I remember at times when I started to panic or when I started to get anxious or worry would creep in, Mark's words and the gift of faith in that particular moment spoke into it. See, the gift of faith is necessary for the church to continue to explode forward with momentum. Because when God unfolds the future of the church, it is the gift of faith that steps in and says, "This is of God. I know the promises of God and his provision and what's going to happen." You don't know maybe when it's going to happen. You don't know how it's going to happen, but you have this unbelievable trust and faith in God and unwavering promises of God that you just step into this moment with such clarity of God's provision. I see this in people's lives, and I wish that I had more of this gift at times, but the beauty and the wonder is that this gift is needed and expressed. So when you hear things about what we're exploring and doing as a church, when you think about, say, launching a student ministry, a reformatted student ministry this fall, or you hear about us taking steps of faith forward and developing other sites in the future, it is the gift of faith that steps in and says, "I believe in the promises and the provision of God, and therefore I'm going to speak these words." And I love that when that happens because they are the words in which we can stand on. Now, you don't always know how it's going to happen, but you know it will. You don't know when it's going to happen, but you know it will. This is a distinct difference of the person who has the gift of faith. Now, as we wrap this up, I want you to text in church the word faith. If you have this gift, then I want you to text it in and just describe it in your text in church. All right. So the power gifts, they are the display of the presence and the power and the reality of God. So we've talked about words of knowledge, wisdom, healing miracles, discerning of spirits, and faith. This brings us to the conclusion of our series on spiritual gifts. And I want to share something with you as we wrap this up. I want to share a number of things with you as we wrap this up, and hopefully we'll be done by noon. I think it's only 10 to 11 when this is being recorded. If you're watching this at another time, I don't know what time you're watching it. I have believed for a long time, for 2 years, that we needed to do this series. And I kept pushing it off and pushing it off. I almost pushed it off right now because of the COVID and the pandemic and we can't meet in person. But I knew that we needed to do this. I knew we had to step into this moment. Because I believe that when we as a church, when we discover our gifts together, when we form together this community of a gift-based church, we will shine brighter in the love and the grace of Jesus Christ. When the gifts are on display, the church shines brighter in the darkness. And there's a distinct difference in the church world where we find meaning and purpose and wholeness and community and love and grace and acceptance. I am convinced that we as a church are preparing for the future. I don't know what that future looks like. I wish I did, but I have a sense that what is happening right now in Vital Point Church, God is preparing us for something new and exciting. And the only way that we can find hope and empowerment is when we use our gifts together as we discover what our gifts are. So here's my words of encouragement to you. If you don't know what your gifts are, it's okay. It's okay. You have time. You can take steps. You can start moving. We're going to be doing in-person gatherings in a few short weeks, early September. We're moving back to in-person. When we start moving in that direction, just start serving. Just start moving and let God show you. Start asking people in your communities. If you're in a connect group, start asking people, what are my gifts? What are the things that God has given to me? If you're not in a connect group, I want to encourage you to get in one this fall so that you can find an environment to find and discover your gifts. Step into this moment. Don't shrug it off. Don't make excuses. Don't be afraid. Step into this and let God reveal to you the gifts that He's given to you. This is a finish line, but it's also a start line. This is a finish of our series, but I believe it's just the beginning, that it's the start line for the wonder and the power of what God is doing in our church. It has been an absolute honor to teach through these gifts for 8 weeks. I'm almost overwhelmed with the reality of it coming to an end. I've worked hard. I felt like at times I was only a step or a few in front of you. At times I felt like I was shoulder to shoulder with you. I want to thank you as a community, as a church, for allowing me to navigate through the complexity of these gifts, the confusion. And my hope is that as you've taken off your backpack and you've taken some things out, you will leave some things out, but you will put new things in. And you will find the wonder and the awe of the empowerment of the Spirit of God in your faith journey. I'm going to pray in just a moment. I'm not sure why I'm so incredibly emotional. I think it's the fact that the team's all staring at me right now. May you be a people. May you be a people who walk in this beautiful journey of faith with Jesus as King, the empowering of the Spirit, and the presence of God. I'm having a hard time wrapping it up. So maybe we should just end here. I'm going to pray. God, it's so incredibly beautiful that your grace would not only bridge the gap of our sin with the person of Jesus Christ, but the grace that you have to give gifts to a broken, flawed group of people. To recognize that your light shines bright through our brokenness as broken clay pots you so choose to use. God, I pray for anyone watching right now that maybe has never taken a faith step and trust in you, that maybe today they will. That they will take a bold step of faith and place their trust in Jesus. May you give the courage to those who are hesitant in stepping forward with their gifts. That you would empower them, give them boldness. May you continue to bring about the fullness of who you desire us to be as a church. And we trust fully in you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for being part of today's service.